Okay, we're going to start here the new parak, the mission, the bottom of Mem Amud Bet. The mission says, Kol Tzlamim Asurim. So when it comes to any images that are found, any psalim that are found, Asurim, we assume they are Asur, Mipneshin Avdim Pamachat Pashana Divrei B'Meir. Rebbe assumes that any idol is worshipped at least once a year. Even though there's a possibility that idols are made just for, or images are made simply for their decorative qualities, nevertheless, Rabbi Meir believes that any time there's an image or an idol, it's worshipped at least once a year. Then an idol or an image is only asur, like Sheol Sheyesh B'yado Makel, has to have in its hand a staff, o tzipor, or a bird, o kador, or a ball. Anything in the hand of an idol or a pesel, that is asur. Now the Gemara wants to understand, okay, let's understand the opinions of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. If the Chachamim agreed to the fact that all idols are worshipped once a year, why would the Rabbanan be matir in this case? If it is Avodah Zarah, it's Asur Bahana'ah, how could the Rabbanan be matir in this case? Now why can't you just say that that is the machlokas over here? The machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is about whether they do worship it once a year. That Rashi and Tosafot over here are Shulel. Both Rashi and Tosafot over here say that the Rabbanan's language does not indicate that that's what they're arguing about. As Rashi points out, it could have said, Chachamim Amrim Enu Nevad, or the way Tosfos formulates it doesn't say, Chachamim Amrim Enu Nevadim Ela Mish Yesh Biado. They're not worshipped except for these types of items. But rather, the Chachamim just say, these are Enu Asur Ela. These are the ones that are Asur. From that language of the Chachamim, it indicates that they don't disagree with Rabbi Meir on the point of whether it's Nevad Pam Bashana. So we don't understand the Rabban in that case. So Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef Rayochum Bim Komosha Rabbi Meir Yuvdim Oto Pamacha Bashana. This phenomenon of worshipping once it was true in the location of Rabbi Meir. And we know that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Rabbi Meir chayish lemiuta, that Rabbi Meir worries about this mute. Therefore, gozar shar mekomot atu oto makom. Rabbi Meir went ahead, and because of his location, this phenomenon was true. He was gozer in the whole world, anytime that you find an idol or an image, we're going to assume that the minhag of that makom is similar to the place of Rabbi Meir, and we're going to worry about the fact that there are people who worship it once a year, and therefore all idols or images are considered to be asurim because we assume that they do worship them once a year. Rabbanan dolo chayish the miut. The Rabbanan who argue and remain on that exact point that they're not choshesh for the miut. So therefore, lo gazru shar makamot oto makom. Yes, they would agree in the makom of Rabbi Meir where the people did worship it once a year that it's problematic. But because of the place of Rabbi Meir, we're not going to go ahead and be gozer oto kol makom all the places in the world. What is interesting here is that we did have Rabbi Meir appear in the previous parak. In the previous parak, it says about Rabbi Meir when it came to Beit on Yonki, when it came to this place where they were shechting the animals, Avodah Zarah, that he asered because of that the cheese, Givina, that came from there. Why over there does Rabbi Meir not extend, Tosos asks, extend that Gzeira to Kol Olam Kulo, just like he does over here? If in the place of Beit Yonki it's true, why don't we say that about the whole world? Over here, when it's in the place of Rabbi Meir, they go and extend it to the whole world. So Tosos says differentiates between the cases. He says, in the place of Rabbi Meir, it wasn't that the miut went ahead and worshipped. It was the entire city. Everybody there worshipped. So therefore, if you take that and expand it to the whole world, you're taking one miut and saying that one miut, now we're going to be choshesh in the whole world for this minority of people that do this or worship the idols or the images once a year. On the other hand, when it came to Beit Onyonki, it was even in that city, it was a miut. It wasn't that the whole city did this, but in that city, there were a miut of Behemot that they used to do this and worship the Avodah Zarah. So because of that, they were choshesh for all the cheeses that came from that location. But then if you were to extend that to the whole world, that would be taking a miut to miut. That'd be a double miut, and we know Rabbi Meir is not choshesh for double miut, he's only choshesh for one miut. So therefore, in the previous paragraph, when it came to the cheeses, he only expanded the Isur jaws to the city. Whereas over here, in our Mishnah, or in our case over here, where the miut is not a miut of the city, but a miut of the whole Olam, because his whole city did this, then he expanded, or he made the gzer extend to all the cities. Now the Gemara comes along, it says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Be'endarti Shamalachim Shaninu. We are talking about a statue of the king. And we're also talking about a case where it's standing at the front, or it's put up, this statue of the king is placed in the entrance to the city. Now, this happens to be subject to a machloket in a number of different ways. The first issue is whether the statements of Amar Rabbi Shmuel and Amar Rabbi are complementary or being choleik, are they arguing? The Rambam is the one Mishnah reads them as being of cholek, arguing on each other, that these are two different statements. One statement is, Bandarti Shamalachim Shaninu, and then, instead of saying, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Be'omdim Apetim Medina Shanu, the Rambam reads them as being arguing or different opinions. Everybody else, including Rashi and all the other Rishonim, read these as being complementary opinions, that the statement of Amar Rabbi Yochanan is qualifying the statement of Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The second difference here is actually about whose opinion these are being said. Is this qualifying the opinion of Rabbi Meir, or is this qualifying the opinion of the Rabbanon? Rashi over here believes that these statements are qualifying the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That when does Rabbi Meir say there's a problem? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel ben Darti Shemalachim. When we're talking about a statue of the king, that's when there's a problem. And then Amar Ruchana says, only Ba'omdim HaPetach Medina Shanino. Then we're talking about when it's talking, standing at the front of the city. So there, if you could see Rashi over here, Rashi says that according to Rabbi Meir, that when we're talking about a king who died, this is Rabbi Rashi's opinion, that here we're discussing in an Andarti, this statue is a memorial to a king who passed away. And because they love the king so much, and they come to end up worshipping the statue as a Avodah Zarah. That's according to Rabbi Meir. When Rabbi Meir says, when are we goes there about images or idols or statues, that's only in a case when we're talking about this Andarti Shamalachim. When we're talking about these statues of the kings, and that's because the statue of the king that passed away, they loved them so much, they come to worship it. And then on top of that, Rabbi Barchana comes and requalifies or narrows that down to say that when they answered, it was only at the Petach de Medina, when it was standing at the entrance to a city, that's Choshev, that's an important location, and therefore it's considered Avodah Zarah. That's the way Rashi reads it over here. The other Rishonim, including Tosfot over here, says, well, I don't understand. This is not talking about Rabbi Meir. It's not narrowing the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but rather this is about the opinion of the Rabbonon. This is explaining the position of the Rabbonon. Now, first of all, the Rabbeinu Tam says that when we're talking about Andarti over here, we're not talking about a memorial statue to the previous king, but rather it's the Tzirat Shulton Achai. We're talking about the king now, the current king that they do, Mishum Kvodo. And now we're talking about in the position of the Chachamim. When the Chachamim in our Mishnah say that it's mutar, that we don't worry about the statue being something that is Avodah Zarah, when is that? That is when the Rabbanan are matir, number one is in Darti Shamalachim. When we're talking about a statue of the king, again, the Rabbeinu Tam says it's the live king. Uba Omdim al Petach Medina, and it's also when it's in the front of the city. When it's the current king's statue and it's standing at the front of the city, that's clearly for the kavod of the king and not for a statue. And that's where the Chachamim say that we don't worry about Avodah Zarah. We don't worry about these images, these statues, these idols being problems of Avodah Zarah. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns. Rashi learns, no, that we're talking about qualifying or we're narrowing the opinion of Rabbi Meir where it's a surah. That's only talking about a king. Again, it's the memorial to the previous king, and we're only talking about the entrance to the city where it's Choshev Luhu. So it makes a huge nafkamina whether you learn like the Rabbeinu Tam or like Rashi. Because according to Rashi, we've now just narrowed down Rabbi Meir, and of course, the Chameim are still matir all sorts of images or statues, because there is no qualification of their statement. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Meir is expansive in his Iser, but then the Chameim's head there is also narrowed down, and they're only matir in these narrow cases where we're talking about a statue of the live king at the entrance to a city. Otherwise, they're also like Rabbi Meir, and they would be Oser in this case. Their proof or their disagreement really revolves around the case that's coming up. We'll mention it when we get to it on the Amud Bet of Imam of Amud Bet. They will mention one of the issues that comes up over here about why there's a difference in their opinion. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbo, Machloket B'shel Kfarim. The Machloket over here is whether in the villages. Aval B'shel Kfarim Divrei HaKol Mutarim. But when it comes to the cities, everybody agrees that you find statues, images, idols in the city, those are mutarim. My time. Well, what's the reasoning behind that? The noya of the little, that in the city they're wealthier, and when they make statues, images, idols, they make them for decorative purposes. They don't necessarily make them for Avodah Zarah, and therefore they are mutarim. So now, the Gemara seems to have abandoned its previous statement. That's what Tosfos points out over here. It seems from the Gemara at this point in time that they've abandoned the Gzeira Otu, that the Gzeira because of, that in Rabbi Meir's location, they worshipped the Avodah Zarah, therefore Rabbi Meir extended it to other places, especially based on the next question of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, when it comes to the kfarim, it comes to the villages, is there anybody who makes it for a decorative purposes? Ella, what? Everybody says, in the villages, nobody's wealthy over there. Nobody makes images or idols or statues just for decorative purposes. They obviously make them for Avodah Zarah. And that includes the Chachamim. The Chachamim also believe that they're making for statues over here. If that's the case, we can't be relating back to the previous assumption of the Gemara that this whole thing is a Gzeira Otu. Because in Rabbi Meir's place, they did it this way, therefore there goes over over here. Because over here, I'm asking on the Chachamim. The Chachamim seem to agree that even in the Kfarim, everybody worships them Avodah Zarah. So that can't be the whole underlying factor over here. Tosfos says, now when the Gemara moves to the second stage, it goes back, it reverts back, and then incorporates the old answer. And that is over here. Ela itmar hachi itmar. This is the way you have to say it. Amar Rabab, machloket b'shal krachim. Their machloket is in the large cities. Babuk shvarim, divya kol asurim. So now there are two parts to the Gemara. When it comes to the kfarim, when it comes to villages, the chachamim and Rabbi Meir, everyone agrees that over there it's asur. Because nobody makes images, idols, statues for decorative purposes. So in that case, everybody agrees that it's asurah there, even the chachamim. When it comes to the Kochim, we're going back to the old answer, which is Gzera Otu. That over there, Rabbi Meir, in his city, they worship things once a year. So since they worship once a year, he says, I'm Choshish the Miut, and therefore I make everything Asur and all Kochim. I'm saying, no, that's true in your Krach. That's true there. So we'll worry about in your Krach, but any other city is Mutar. So the final answer of the Gemara will be a combination of both of these ideas. One in the Kfarim, where it's irrelevant about Gzera Otu. It's all about the fact that in those cities, they don't make decorative statues, images, idols. And therefore, everybody agrees it's Asura. And whereas when we're dealing with the cities, that's the concept of Gzera Otu. So the Gemara went through three stages here. It went through a stage of Gzera Otu, went through another stage where we dropped the Gzera Otu, and we just discussed Kfarim versus Kvachim. And then the final answer, it incorporates both. It says Kfarim are by themselves, and then Kvachim are dealing with this Gzera Otu. And now the Gemara continues, V'chamim einan osrim. The Chamim are not osir except when the idol has, the statue has a something in its hand. But what are those three things? It gives an example. It has to be a makel, a staff, has to be a kadur or a ball, or a tzipur or a bird. And now the Gemara is explaining why. And osrim, why? Makel. What does makel represent? Shrodeh tatzmo tachar olom kulo ke makel. Now here it's a lashon of derogatory statement, but it really means is that he holds the staff over the whole world. He controls the whole world with his staff. The Gemara terms it in a negative term because it's Avodah Zarah and says that the whole world is held over him like a staff. Tzipor, when it comes to a bird, shetofes etzmo tachar olam kulo k'tzipor. Basically, he's like a bird, meaning that he has the bird's eye view over the whole world. He can fly over the whole world and control the world. Again, the Gemara termed it as the world is sitting on top of him like a bird. Kadur, what does it mean that a kadur? Shetofes etzmo tachar olam kulo k'kadur. He holds himself under the world like a ball. Again, it's the other way around in reality, which is then the fact that he holds the ball in his hands is like he has the ball of the earth, ball of the world in his hand. He controls the whole world. Now there's an important Tosus over here. Tosus, which in other places in Shas does not say this, but Tosus concludes from here that Kikadur Shalom Agul. The world is round. Here you have Tosus saying the world is round. In other places, and Ben Otam, in other instances, it seems clear that they don't believe the world is round. But over here, from this Gemara, the Tosus concludes that the world is round. He brings a proof. Either Rishami, Alexandro smoked on Alexander Great, Alala Mala, he was taken above the world. That's Shra Kol Olam Kikadur. He saw the whole world round. But the Yam Kikara, and it looked the Yam looked like a big bowl. Perish Yam Okinosh, Mekivit Kolam Kolo, like the big, the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, which is large, it covers the whole world. Now again, he doesn't know about the landmass of the Americas, but he still thinks that the world is round at this point in time. So a very important Tosfos in Tesora, at least when it comes to the Tosfot in these Prakim, that Rabbi Kiva Eger points out at the beginning of the Masechta, the Tosfot that are found in Avodah Zarah are the Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz. And so over here, the Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz saying that the world is actually round. Now the Gemara continues, Tano, Hosifa Aleim, we had a Breitzer or Tosefta that added on additional items that are found in the hand of the idol statue image that they also are considered to be Avodah Zarah, which is Saif, sword, Atara, crown, Vitabat, and a ring. Saif, with a sword. Mikara Savor, in the beginning, why they didn't include those in the Mishnah is Listim Be'alma, that he's a thief. He was the chief thief, for the chief marauder, and that's why they put a sword in his hand. The B'sov Savor, in the end, they realized that Shoreget Atzmo, Tachar Olam Kulo, again, this is in a derogatory sense, that he kills himself under the whole world, but rather he's holding a sword over the whole world. He's in control of the whole world with his sword. Atara, when it came to a crown, Mikara Savor, Gdil Klile Be'alma, that it was a woven or decorative wreath that was on the head. That it was really a crown, like the melech, for a king, meaning that he ruled over the world, he had dominion over the world. Tabat, when it came to the ring, they thought that he was a messenger, that he had a signet, he had an ink stamp on his ring, and that's what it was about. Again, an idea that he has control or dominion over the world, and here again, the world is over him, and determines who's for death, but over here, it's the signet unit of the Talbot is rulership, dominion, or control over people's lives. We see that by Paro and Yosef, by Mordechai and Achashverosh and Haman. And over here, again, the idea that Talbot represents dominion of the king. He can determine who dies and who will live. Now, the final statement of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that says that anything in the hand is classified as being dominion, and therefore that is classified as avodah zarah. Tana, afilu tzror, even if it has a little pebble, afilu kisem, a little splinter, splint of wood that is in his hand, that's enough to be classified as avodah zarah. Now, by Rav Ashi, tafas biyadot, so af, he has excrement in his hand, mau, what's the din? Do we say that when he has excrement in his hand, it means that he looks at the whole world like excrement, meaning that he's so high and so powerful that everybody else is excrement to him? Or, Dilma hu miu dezil ba'apik kuleyama ketzoa. Or maybe it's the other way around, that we view him like tzoa, that we don't think of him. He is so lowly that they place the tzoa on there, and at least it's a teiku. That if he has tzoa, excrement in the hand, we don't know what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion would be in that instance. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes anything that of, even if it's not of significance, anything in the hand is a show of dominion, unless, again, it's a case like tzoa, or something lowly like excrement, then we have a question about what the view of that item is in the hand of the individual. Okay, now the Gemara move on to the next mission. Amotzei shivrei tzlamim, someone who finds broken pieces or parts of an image, statue, an idol. Harielu mutarim, those are mutar. So when we're talking about here tzelem, tzelem is an image statue, as opposed to avodah zarah, meaning that if they found a broken piece of avodah zarah, that would be addressed in the Gemara in a second. But over here we're talking about broken pieces of a tzelem. Those are mutarim. Matzat tavnit yadu, tavnit regel, found an image of a hand or a foot. Those are asurim, even if they are shever, even though they are a broken piece, nevertheless they are asurim because those types of things are nevada. Again, the Gemara will qualify what exactly is going on here. Now, Shmuel makes a statement over here, which is an important statement. It's not just tzlamim, not just statues, idols, images, but even something that was worshipped for certain, we know was worshipped as avodah zarah. Nevertheless, if it's shvarim, it's in pieces, that is mutar. Well, if that's the case, that's a much bigger chiddush. Why don't we read in the Mishnah shivrei tzlamim? Right. So why wouldn't you have written? The Mishnah says shivrei tzlamim. You should have written shivrei ovdat chachavim. Why did you write shivrei tzlamim? It says hu adin dafilu shivrei ovdat chachavim. No, ena chanami. It's true. The Mishnah should have written shivrei rachamim. V'ad tani shivrei tzlamim. So why did it use the term shivrei tzlamim? V'shum degabay lemitna seifa. Because of the second half of the Mishnah. The second Mishnah matzat tavnit yad, tavnit regel harelu asurim ipnei shkiyot ben nevad. So that's the chiddush. The chiddush over here is the second half of the Mishnah. They had it written. Shivrei ovdat kochavim had it written the Shvarim ben avodah zarah in the first, which would be a chiddush lehetera, then we wouldn't have known. In the second half mission, when it says that a yad and a regel are a serim, we would have thought only if that's broken away from avodah zarah. But it's when it's broken away from a stam statue, idol image, then those wouldn't be classified as avodah zarah. So the chiddush of the mission is even by a tzelem, even when it's just an image, we don't know if it was avodah zarah, but when we find a leg and a hand, that is a surah, that is a sur, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So that's why it didn't write Shivrei ovdat Chavim, to teach us that chiddush in the second half of the Mishnah, that matzah tamid yad, that regla regla surim, ipnei shkiyot ben nevad. Right now the Gemara continues to try to understand that second half of the Mishnah, but not. Matzah tamid yad, but tamid regla regla surim, ipnei shkiyot ben nevad. Am I? Why are they? Why would you say that these are tzurim? Vash vermin, who they're broken pieces. Why would you ever think that they're worshipped? So Targum of Shmuel, again here, Shmuel again comes and defines for us this part of the Mishnah and says, Va'omdim al bisisam, that they're standing on a basis. Over here, Rashi says, bisisam is al kanam, that they're on some sort of platform. They're on a pedestal that is placed out there. So Makoma mutukona, came to Advinu Hatam, since they placed it specifically in this location, Vadai Palchilu, they're definitely going to worship it. Here you have a broken piece, right, a hand or a regal, but it's placed in a place of significance, and therefore we know, or it's an indication, that it will be worshipped. That is the opinion of Rashi. On the other hand, Tosa says over here, I don't understand. Bomdiyom b'sisan can't be that. I don't understand Rashi. Our Mishnah uses the term matzah, that he found. It's not that they, according to Rashi, they didn't find anything here. It's sitting on some sort of pedestal, some sort of platform. That's not called finding. That's been placed there with intent. We're not talking about matzah. It also says, when you say matzah, it means like you found it in the shuk, you found it in the sadeh, it's something that's lying around. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam over here says that the basis that we're speaking about in this instance is not a basis, a platform, a pedestal like Rashi, but something that attached to the leg or the hand itself. It has a moshav rachav, it has a base with it. The hand or the regal has a base, and therefore it doesn't look like a shever anymore, because that's why it was made. It looks like it was made intentionally this way, because it has a base under it. It looks like it was made in the first place this, and it's no longer a shever. And that's the understanding according to Rabbeinu Tam over here, that it's Belmdim Basisam, is that they have their own Basis over here. Now that difference in their opinion also relates back, and I mentioned before this, the machlokas between Rashi and the Tosafot about explaining the Mishnah early on. When it came to the Andarti and to the qualification of the entrance to the city, we said before that Rashi says that's qualifying Rabbi Meir, and Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosafot said that most of the other Mishonim say it's qualifying the Rabbanan. One of Tosafot's questions is from this Gemara over here. If you think like Rashi that the Gemara over here is qualifying Rabbi Meir and saying that Rabbi Meir's Isra only applies when we're talking about an Andarti Shemalachim and in the front of the city, then when you find something in the middle of the Shetzadin Shuk, who's the one who would be Oser? Clearly not Rabbi Meir, and certainly not the Chachamim. So whose opinion could it be? So that's why Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that they were qualifying the Chachamim over here. Chachamim are the ones who say, when is it Mutar? It's only Mutar when we find it at the entrance to the city. It's an Andarti Shemalachim. But when you stop find it, then it's a Surah. Then we can explain Matzat Avnid Yad Regel. Then we can explain that Mishnah later on. When you find something in the Shulk and the Sadeh that it's a Surah, that's fine. We can explain that according to Rabbeinu. We can even explain it according to the Rabbanan. Now, Rabbeinu Elchanan defends Rashi's position back in the Tosos and says, no, that we're talking about Rabbi Meir over here. And that we're Shlayer Tzlamim. That's true. Rabbi Meir is only Oster in this instance and not other Tzlamim. What are you going to do with Tavnid Yad and Regel, our mission over here, which who's going to be the author of that opinion? That is when we're talking about Kfarim. We saw in the Gemara there was a distinction between Kvachim and Kfarim. In Kfarim, everybody agreed that there they worshipped Avodah Zarah. So Matzah, Tavnid Yad and Regel can be talking about finding it in the Kfarim. When you find it in the Kfarim, or even the Chachamim, the Rabbanan agree over there that it's Asur. So now, when we're talking about here, when we're discussing about the city, that's about Krachim. That definition of Rabbi Meir, that qualification of Rabbi Meir, limitation of Rabbi Meir, is only talking about in major cities. That's where his Gzera applied. But when it comes to Kfarim, everybody agreed over there. And that's how the Rabbeinu Elchanan defends Rashi's position. Tosfos there also asks about the Andarti. About, we see in other places that in Andarta in general, the statues were not worshipped. We see that by Benuchadnezzar, by Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. When it came to putting up statues of the king, people don't worship them. It's not less likely to be worshipped, not more likely to be worshipped. So over there, Tosos answers and says that there's a difference between the type of Andarti, the type of statue that's put up. If it's a statue of the king, then it is worshipped. If it's a statue of the Sultan, of the ruler, then maybe it's not worshipped. And that's how he makes a distinction between Astira and Argamar, which seems to say that statues in general of kings are worshipped. Versus Gemara and Shabbos and in other places where it seems that they are not worshipped in general. Now the Gemara continues. Itmar, Avodat Kochavim, Shinishtabra Me'eleha. Avodah Zarah that broke by itself. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura. Rabbi Yochanan says that's problematic still. And it's not Mevutal, it's not automatically nullified, it still has a status of Avodah Zarah. Shemengalakish Omer Muteret. Rabbi Shemalakish says that is Mutar. No problem. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura, Dalau Batla. That you have to have active bitul, you have to have active nullification of the Avodah Zarah, and unless there's active nullification, it's still Avodah Zarah. B'mshem Elokish Amar Muteret. It's not a problem. Mistama bitule mevatule. I mean, mistama, we're going to assume that he's mevatule. We're going to have stam dat that he's mevatule. Why? Meim Amar, he's going to say, Yom nafsho bo atzla, can't save itself. Lahau gavram atzla, he's going to save me? How's the Avodah Zarah going to help me if it can't help itself? So therefore, we assume that stam, he's mevatule, the Avodah Zarah, in this instance. Now, Tosos on the previous Amud points out that he thinks that the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Lakish and the opinion of Shmuel are actually consistent, that they actually both hold each other's opinion. Shmuel said before that even Shivrei Avodat Kochavim, when it comes to pieces of Avodah Zarah, they are Mutarot. Over here, you have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, who says that when it breaks by itself, it is Muteret. Tosos says that those go hand in hand. You have to believe that Avodah Zarah that is in pieces is Muteret in order to say that when it breaks by itself, that it is also Muteret. Meaning that if you believe that the pieces of the Avodah Zarah are Asurah, when it's broken, what does it matter if it was broken by someone else or broken by yourself? You think that the pieces are problematic. So why would it matter by itself or not by itself? So it's indicative by the fact that we say Nishtabra Olea is Muteret. That means that's premised on the opinion of Shmuel before that Shvarim, when it comes to broken pieces in general, broken pieces of Avodah Zarah are considered to be Mutarot. And that's what Tosa says in the previous hour, he says the two opinions go hand in hand. Here are the Shivri, he holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, who says Avodah Chachamim Shnishtar Ben Melech Muteret, Ilei Nami, that the Matzah Shivrei Avodah Chachamim Mutarim, V'Tavayu Chai Taimo Itlehu. They both have the same opinion. They come from the same reasoning or the same logic, that when it comes to Shvarim, when it comes to the broken pieces, our underlying assumption is, in this case, that it was Mivutal, that it was broken. Either if you find shvarim, stam, then we assume that those were that which was found, the shibdei orachamim, the assumption is that it was mivutal. You have three options when you find a bunch of pieces of avodah zarah. You have one option is that it broke by itself, the other one that it was broken by the avodah ovid chachamim itself, or one, it was the last one, it was broken by Yisrael. In two of the cases, the avodah zarah is mivutal. One where it broke by itself, or when an ovid chachamim broke it himself, that's an indication that he's nullifying it. So in those two cases, we're going to assume it's nullified. The last possibility where it's a Jew who broke it, who can't nullify avodah zarah, that's a remote case. And if he did it to break it, he probably would have buried it and put it into Geniza. The fact that it's still here is indicative that it probably wasn't a Jew. So because of that, they both have the same opinion that when it comes to broken pieces, we assume that the avodah zarah was nullified. So now the Gemara continues. Eitfei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Yochanan challenged Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish from the story in Shmuel Aleph. This is when the Aron was captured by the Plishtim, and they were having a lot of problems. I mean, the Aron was causing a lot of problems from them. They were moving it around. Then one of the issues that came up with the Aron was with their god Dagon. And in that instance, it seems that the Aron caused their god Dagon to be destroyed or killed or fall over. But yet we see that they continue to worship the Shvarim, the pieces that are there. I'm going to read you from Perek Hay in Shmuel Aleph. It says, They took it from Evan Ezra and they brought it to Ashdod, which was the main city. Then they took it from the Aron Elokim, and they brought it to Beit Dagon. And they placed it next to Dagon. The Ashdodim get up the next morning after the Aron is placed there. Their god Dagon is falling over like as if it's bowing down to the Aron Hashem. And they upright the pestle again, and they put it back up. The next day they wake up again. Again, Dagon is face down in front of the Aron Hashem. And the head of Dagon and his two hands are krutot el miftan, are cut down. Rak Dagon nishar alav. Just Dagon is left on the miftan, on the platform that's there, but his head and his hands are falling before the Aron Elokim. Al Kain, because of that, Lojuchu Kohanei Dagon, the Kohanim, the priest of Dagon, V'chobayim Beit Dagon, O'miftan Dagon, they will not walk on the threshold, the platform, or the base of Dagon, Bashtod, Adiyom Azeh. But wait, we saw that Dagon fell into pieces over here, and yet, the Kohanim, or the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, were makbid not to walk on the miftan, the threshold, on the base, or the platform that is there. So it shows to you that they still ascribed value, or powers, to the broken pieces of Dagon. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan asked, Reish Lakish. So Amalo Misham Raya, Rish Lakish says, what do you mean? How can you bring a proof on there? No, they thought that the powers left Dagon and moved into the Miftan, into the threshold, the base of the Dagon. As Rashi says over here, that the Isarei moved from Dagon onto the Miftan. So therefore they're worshipping the threshold, the base itself. The Sar, or the powers, or the forces left Dagon, and they went and sat on the threshold, the base that was there. So now I have another question. It says someone who finds shivrei tzlamim finds pieces of an image, an idol, a statue, or elu mutarim. Ha shivrei avodat kochavim asurim. Had he found pieces of avodah zarah, it would have been asura. Oh, so that would be a problem over here. So we see that pieces of avodah zarah are going to be asurim. So how could you say that when it breaks down by itself and you have pieces of avodah zarah, that it's mutar? Over here it seems to be asur. Now this is very similar to our Mishnah, and Tosfos asks this question, we'll come back to it, is why didn't the Gemara just ask this diuk out of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says the exact same thing. Our Mishnah says, shivrei tzlamim. And yet Shmuel says about that, it's talking about shivrei avodat kochavim. So why can't the same diuk that we made out of our Mishnah, now they're trying to make out of the Braita? The Mishnah, they answered. Why can't they answer the same way that they answered our Mishnah? So that the Gemara doesn't do. The Gemara is going to give an alternative answer. And then Tosfos has to reconcile why our Gemara gave the answer here to the Braita and the answer by the Mishnah the way they did over there. So now let's hear what the answer is. Don't say the diuk is because shivrei tzlamim are mutarim, that shivrei tzlamim are surim. Ela imahat tzlamim atzman asurin. That comes to be medayek, or the diuk out of here is that the tzlamim, when it comes to the tzlamim, when it comes to the idols, the statues, they themselves are asurim. And who's that like? That's Stamak, Rabbi Meir. That's like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, the beginning of the parak, says that Stam Slamim are Asurim. So that's what the Braita. The Braita is Shita's Rabbi Meir. And along comes Rabbi Meir to teach you Shivrei Slamim when it comes to the broken pieces of the Slamim. Over there, we say mutarim. But when it comes to the tzelem itself, there we say asurim, and that's like Rabbi Meir. So that's how the Gemara answers the Braita by saying that it was authored by Rabbi Meir. That's a deep deal over here. As opposed to the Mishnah beforehand, when the Gemara answered over there, the Gemara answered that the Mishnah was Dio for the other side, that Tavnit, Yad, and Regel, to teach us the Chiddush, that Tavnit and Yad and Regel are Asurin. So again, why didn't they use each answer? So Tosis over here comes to explain the difference in these two cases. Because that answer in the previous Mishnah, Tosis points out, is only according to Rabbi Meir. The fact that Tavnit, Yad, and Regel are worshipped, that's a din of Rabbi Meir, because the Chachamim thinks Stam Slamim are not worshipped at all. So now, why didn't the Gemara ask the same question they asked on Shmuel before, which is, you're right, that Shibdei Chachamim are Mutarim, just write that in the Braita. Why is it going to say Shibdei Slamim? The answer to that is because we wanted the Diok that Slamim are Asurim. So therefore we need it over here to say Slamim are Asurim, so we can't write Shibdei Chachamim, otherwise you know nothing about Slamim. All you know about is Avodah Zarah itself is Asura. Everybody agrees to that. That's not a chiddush. So we need Shibrei Tzlamim to tell me about the other half. Now you could ask, once the Gemara already establishes the bright like Rabbi Meir, then you could have said that the chiddush here is about Tavnit Yag Unregel. Tosa says that's a Shnuya Dechuka. That's a difficult answer that we gave before, so they didn't want to bring it over here. And the reason that Shmuel couldn't give the answer that this is Rabbi Meir is because that's exactly what Shmuel's doing. Shmuel's explaining our Mishnah before, which is a Libid Rabbi Meir. And so you can't say, oh, this is Rabbi Meir, because that is exactly Shmuel saying his statement in Rabbi Meir. And therefore, he had to give the answer of Tavnit, Yad, and Regel. Okay, the Gemara continues now, and asks from this a challenge to the position of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, well, Rabbi Yochanan meets Rabbi Meir, Nishmalu the Rabbanan. From the position of Rabbi Meir, let's understand Rabbi the Rabbanan. Lava my Rabbi Meir, Slamim Asurim. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that any statue, idol, or image is Asur. And Shivrei Slamim Mutarim. But broken pieces of Slamim we know are Mutarim. The Rabbanan. Avodat Chachomim, Nami hi Asura. According to the Rabbanan, Avodah Zarah in general is Asura, equivalent to the Tzlamim of Rabbi Meir. Vishivrea Mutarim, so therefore its broken pieces should be Mutarim. So if you want to compare Rabbi Meir's position to the position of the Chachomim, whatever is Asura is in the whole form. According to Rabbi Meir, that's a Tzelem in its whole form, that's Asura, broken pieces are Mutarot. Chachomim only Oser over Avodah Zarah itself, so therefore when the broken pieces, we should say they are Mutarot, if you're going to parallel their two opinions, and that would be against Rabbi Yochanan over here, who says that the broken pieces are still Asurot. So the answer of the Gemara is, how can you compare these two cases? When it comes to a case of a Tzelem, when it comes to a case of an image, we can say there's a suffix. One suffix is, did he worship it, or did he not worship it? The second suffix, even if they did worship it, then you can say that they were Mevatalit, because we have the pieces over here. So they have a Sveik, and that's how we explain our Mishnah before. Actually, Rashi points it out on the Mishnah. The reason that it's Mutarot, the Shvarim of the Tzlamim are Mutarot, even according to Rabbi Meir, is because we're talking about a case of a sveika over here. Now Shmuel eliminates that sveika and says, not even besafik echad, we still say that they are mutarim. And so does Reb Shimon Lakish over here. We only need one sveika over here. Once we have one sveika, we say they are mutarim. On the other hand, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Chachamim itself, vaday avdua, there we know vaday that they worshipped it, mimer devatlo. Who's going to say that they were mevatalit? Have a suffix, motzei bidei vatei. We know something's also for sure because it was worship. And we have a suffix if they were mevatalit. You can't have a suffix remove a iser vadai. Okay, now the Gemara is going to challenge this basic position. Is it really true that a suffix can't be motzei bidei vadai? Vein suffix motzei bidei vadai. Is that really true? Vatanya, we have a brayta, chaver shemait. You have a chaver who passed away. Veniach megurah melei apirot. He left a basket full of fruits. Afilu hein b'nei yoman. Even if they were just picked on that day, harein b'chezkat mitukanim, we assume that they are, had the trumot masrot removed from them. V'ahocho, here's a case, the vadei tefilei, we know for sure they're tevel because they were picked today, and we know for sure that they had to be an Easter of tevel at some point in time. Safek asrinu, safek lo asrinu, we don't know if he took out masrot or not, then we're saying yes, that they're fine. How can you take the safek of maser and eliminate the vadei of tevel? So here we have a case of Safek comes out to Safek and Motzei Devadai. Gemara says, no, either Hatam Vadai Vadaihu, it's a Vadai on both sides. The Vadai Asrin, and we know for certain that he took off the Trumot Masrot, Kid Rabbi Chanina Chozah. We have a principle of Rabbi Chanina Chozah, Damar Chazanah Chazaka Chaver, when it comes to a Chaver, Sheinu Motzei Devar Sheinu Mutukam Mitachi Yado. A Chaver never leaves around fruits or vegetables that are not Mitukanim. He's afraid of course, that somebody might eat, might take from them, so he doesn't want anybody to violate an Easter because of him. Therefore, he ensures for certain that anything that is available or outside of the, or already chayav for Tumat Masrot, that he's already taken them off. Now, of course, this is a case where he died mishuvadat, or he died when he was not all of a sudden, or something happened to him, because then he wouldn't have had the time or the mind to be metakin them. So that's what those points out from Yishalmi, that he has to be of sound mind when he passed away, so that he knew to take off the Tumat Masrot. So therefore, we assume that he did it. So that's Vadai and Vadai. The other possibility is Ibaitema, we're talking about a Suffolk and a Suffolk over here. Why? Because Efshad Ovad Karabi Oshia, he could have done the trick like Rabbi Oshia. Damar, Marima Dama Tua, Machnisaba Mochila, Kadeshi Bemto, Chelet Batura Minamaser. That the Chiyub of Masrot actually goes through different stages. When it comes to Masrot, you have to have a Gemar Malacha, you have to have the finishing process done to the grains or the item that you are being Chayav in Maser. So that's what's called Gemar Malacha. The Gemar Malacha is what we call Meruach Bikri. That's when you put up, when you smooth over the pile of all the grain that has been worked over, and now you have all the kernels, you've done all the work, and you've finished it. There's a second requirement in order to be chayav in Masrot, that's what's called Riat Pnei Abayit. It must be then brought into the house. Now that qualification being brought in the house is actually subject to what your purpose or what you're going to use the food for. If you're going to use this for selling in the shuk, then when you finish the work over it, when you do the Gemar Melocha, the Miruach HaKri, at that point already you are chayav in Masrot, and you have to take them off right away, because your intention is never to bring them into the house. On the other hand, if you do intend to bring them into the house, there's a second qualification in order to be chayav in Masrot. Number one, Gemar Malacha, which is the Meruach HaKri, which is smoothing out of the pile. And number two is Riyanat Pnei Abayit. You have to bring it into the house after that point in time. So to avoid that chayav Masir, what you could do is, before you do the Meruach HaKri, before they do the Gemar Malacha, you bring it into the house. Now the Riyanat Pnei Abayit has to be after the processing is already done. Then when you bring it in, you become chayav Masir. If you bring it into the house before the Gemar Malacha, when you have not finished the processing of the grains, then at that point in time you've lost the ability to have Riyat Pnei Abayit because it's already in the house. And when you do the Meruach, when you fix it up inside the house, that will no longer create or generate a Chiyuv Maaser. Now, when it comes to this, there's actually two pieces to this. And this has to do with Tevel in general, that which is out in the field. When it comes to items that have not reached the point of Gemar Malacha, one is Mutar to eat from them Achilat Arai, temporary or meal snacks, but they may not have an achilat keva. They're not going to have a full-fledged meal. Now that's a din derabonon. It's not a din deraisa, but a din derabonon that we don't allow you to have big meals out of stuff that has yet to reach the chiyuv maaser. You can have achilat arai, temporary or small meals. So now achilat arai, for a human being, they can take a little snack from this item. That's true. Whether it's out in the field before it became reached the Gemar Malacha of Maaser, it's also true if he brings it into the house before the completion of the processing, there too he can have a snack from this item. That's for a human being. For animals, all of their eating is classified as a snack. And therefore, even in the field, you can feed your animals before the Chiyuv Maaser without taking off Masrot, as well as when it's brought into the house before the Gemar Malacha, at that point also you can feed it to animals because that's classified as a snack or a Chilat Arai. So here, the way to get around this or to prevent the problem is that, yes, maybe, we don't even know if it's Tevel. We don't know. It's a Suffolk, it's a Tevel, because if he brought it into the house before the completion of the processing, then there is no Chiyuv Maaser, there's no Tevel. So it's a Suffolk Tevel, and now a Suffolk whether he took the Trumot, the Maserot off of it. So you have a Suffolk Motzei Midei Suffolk, that we can do. So that's what the answer of the Gemara over here is. Maridim HaTuvah Mechnisaba Motzila brings it in, still in its kernels. Kedei Sheyed Behem Toa Chalet. The animal can eat it, because the animal's eating is always considered a temporary meal. Uptura Min HaMaaser, you're not Chayiv HaMaaser. The Gemara asks, is that really true? Ain't Suffolk Motzei Midei Vadai? Is that really true? Vatanya, we have a Braito. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Maase b'shivchato shel mitzika chad b'rimon. There was a case of a shivcha, a maidservant of an individual in Rimon. Now Rashi's Girsha, the Girsha we have here is mitzik, and Rashi calls him a gavra alma, a strong man, person who is a bully, basically, that lived in Rimon. Tosu says that the Tosefta, the Girsha, was mosaic, which would mean a olive picker, someone who picks olives. So that would be, obviously, have a different connotation over here. Shitila nefel lebor. Now she had a miscarriage, this shivcha, into a pit. Uba kohen veitzitz. A kohen came along to look in, to see, leidaya im zacharim nekevat, to see if it was a male or a female, to know what to do in terms of tuman the karbonot of a zachar nekevat. Uba maaseh lefnei chachamim, it came before chachamim veitihuru, and they said he's tahor. Now a kohen would be tameh if he's ma'ahil, if he makes an ohel over a mate. Over here we're talking about a nefel. If it is classified as a nefel, then that has the status of a human being. If it has the status of a human being, then when he was ma'ahil over this nefel, then he would be mitame or tame be tumat ohel. Rachamim said he's tahor. Because there are weasels and other animals or rodents that are found in that area. Our case over this case over here is Vada Hitila. We know for certain that she miscarried a nefel. Savik garua, savik lo garua. We don't know if the animals pulled away or ate it and moved it away or not. Vagate safik, and that safik is motzimide vadai. Vadai, there was something that was tamei there. And now we're saying because of the safik of whether it was taken away or not, based on that safik, we're going ahead and making a decision that this kohen is tahor. Amar says, no. Lo tema itila nefel labor. The case here is not that we're certain that she had a miscarriage of a nefel, which is already a formed ubar, a formed fetus, but rather that was part of the question. The question was, Ema Hitila Kamin Nefel Labor. She miscarried something that looked like a full-formed fetus. Now the Gemara says, wait, V'haleidoyim Zachar Nekevahu K'toni. It says to know whether it was male or female. Why does it need male or female if it's not a fetus? So Halchei Kamar, this is the way you have to understand the Braita. Leidoyim Ruach Hipilayim Nefel Hipila. The Goyim looked over to determine whether it was a fetus or not, or where it was just too early in the stages of the development so that it had no form and it would not have tuma. V'imtim Salomar Nefel, and if it was a nefil hitila, that it was, then leidaim zachar nekeva, to see if it was a male or a female. So if that's the case, we actually now have a safek. We have a safek whether it's something that is tamei or not tamei. And based on that safek, we're going to say that there's also the safek of the bardalus and the chulda that dragged it away. And that safek, mi motzi mi de safek. Those animals, that weasel or that rodent is found in an area, they don't leave food around. They always take it back to their hole. They always drag it back to the hole. So for certain, it was taken away from there. So even though it's vadai, he was looking at whether it was a nefel. We know for certain it was a nefel fetus that was dropped in there that was metameh. Nevertheless, he's not tameh because we know for certain that the animals or the rodents took it away, and therefore there's no problem here. It's vadai, motzi mitei vadai. That happens to be between Rashi and Tosafot. That's me an interesting machlokas about this Kohen over here. Rashi says that this Kohen was a Chacham. That he was a Chacham, and he was more halacha, more horan. He was coming trying to help out this Shivcha to understand what she needed to do, api halacha. Tosafot says that this Kohen was a Shotehaya, that he was a complete fool. Why is he leaning over a pit to look at this nefel and maybe come to May? You know that a Kohen is not able to be Tameh Lameit. Not for any reason. That's meaning not for anything except for the 7 krovim. And when it comes to the 7 krovim, they're not included by a fetus. It has to be a bar kayama. For the 7 krovim, for him to be tamei, they have to be a full-fledged human being, not just a fetus. Over here, it's for someone else. And to be over a fetus, that person is a shote. So Rashi and Tosafot argue about the Kohen here, why he came into this safek. Rashi said he was trying to do a good thing. He was trying to be more aran. He was trying to help out. Tosafot says he's a fool. He shouldn't have been involved in the tuma at all. The other thing that we learn from here, which is clear, is that when it comes to the shifcha, that she has tumat leida. When it comes to a shifcha, because just like she has a din in milah, so too she has a din in tumat leida. So just like the children born to that shifcha will have a din or a requirement of milah, so too she'll have tumat leida. And therefore knowing or determining whether it was a sachar nekeva is important over here. The last thing is Tosfos mentions over here, is try to figure out where the safek tuma is over here. Because we know when it comes to safek tuma b'shut rabim is tahor. Safek tuma b'shut yachid is tamei. So what is this case a case of b'shut rabim, and then he should have been tahor, and there's nothing to talk about, or is it b'shut yachid, and then he should have been tamei? He gives answers to both directions, trying to come up with a case that can work, and where we won't have that problem. And number two, Tosfos asks, well, even if the animal drags it away, when he drags the nefel into its hole, then it's tuma ritzutza, what's called tuma, when a mate is buried and does not have a poteach tefach or an ohel over it, then the tuma comes up, and no matter where you're walking, you're an ohel over it. So even if the animal dragged it away from the boar, if the kohen walked around the boar, then he could have been tamei just from walking over the hole of the animal. So Tosfos in the end says, stam chor shratzim, when it comes to these rodents, yesh ben poteach tefach, they have an opening of a tefach, and therefore the tuma is not ritzutza, doesn't burst up, but goes out through the opening.